I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, they've run the fewest offensive plays per game, and they have the most plays on defense. Williams, a strike to DJ Moore. Touchdown, Chicago. The turnover turns into points. Moore throws the ball into the crowd.
Watch this little whip route from DJ Moore. It looks like he's going out. Nope. Skirts his way back inside. Caleb puts the ball perfectly on time. That is a quarterback and his receiver in sync. And DJ Moore has had some drop issues. No drop issues there.
Here's Williams in the pocket. Williams trying to get out of the pocket. He won't. Loses the ball. And the Steelers jump on top of it. It's a touchdown. T.J. Watt!
I'm not sure what Caleb was trying to do there. Either tuck the ball away or throw it, one or the other. You can't just let it hang out there like that when you got a defender in your face wrapped all around you.
Third and 5, 4 minutes to go, first half. Williams throws it, and it's caught for the touchdown. Loveland carries the defender with him for the score. Second of the day for Caleb Williams.
This is going to turn out to be a one-on-one matchup, Colson Loveland against Kyle Duggar, and he sets him up with a tiny little outside at the top of the route and then cuts it back across, and Caleb puts it right on his body, catches, falls into the end zone. Colson Loveland has really come on these last few weeks, and you can see the chemistry starting to grow.
Turns this into a third and manageable. Flags are down. Williams downfield. The Bears go back in front.
Result of the play. Touchdown.
Jack Sawyer was offsides. Chicago takes the lead.
Watch what Odunze does to Jalen. It's going to completely open up all this space right here. And DJ Moore is going to have nobody around him whatsoever. Wide open touchdown on the free play. Caleb Williams taking advantage. Great drive. Despite a big penalty for the Chicago Bears.
From the gun, double clutch, touchdown, Freiermuth. And that's a BB from Mason Rudolph. Steelers get the score. Long drive, they cap it off. 17 plays with a touchdown strike from Rudolph.
There's a lot of traffic, a lot of confusion amongst the Bears defenders. Look at all three. Just kind of standing together in a grouping, and Freiermuth slips behind him. That little bunch formation really put the Bears' communication in a tough spot.
Fourth down, 28 seconds left. Steelers trying to get organized. Clock is ticking. They need 6 yards. Rudolph throws, and it's tipped to the line of scrimmage. It's over. The Bears' defense comes through. Jaquan Brisker.
Watch how high Jaquan Brisker gets on this tip. He jumps way up in the air and gets a hand on it, levitates, and ends the game.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, Sirius XM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Jock. City. Get it on. For the better part of the next 90 minutes, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That's how it sounded today on CBS. Appreciations to CBS for the audio there. My guy Tyler Farrengold on the ones and twos for me for the next 90 minutes, taking you up to Sunday Night Football. Tonight, the Rams host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. And, of course, you can tune in all day tomorrow for Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. You know how it happened. You know what it was. The Bears down the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-28, moved to 8-3 on the season, 4-1 at home. And yes, the Bears have won 8 out of their last 9 games in the National Football League. That is a rare feat. And for these Chicago Bears, let's just say within our lifetime, that's a fairly rare feat as well. You could also look at it as two different 4-game winning streaks now, you know, kind of 4-game streaks sandwiched around the one defeat they've had in the last 9 games. But that 4-2 start last season and the 10-game skid that followed, it feels like a distant memory for what we're seeing, what we're witnessing so far from this season's version of the Bears. I'm certainly going to have a lot of gum flapping to do up till Sunday Night Football, but would love your participation as well. I know many of you were out there at a raucous Soldier Field today. You're on your way home. You're sitting in your vehicles, and you are basking in the glow of the Bears being in first place, continuing alone atop the NFC North Division. You can hit me up at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Talk about what you witnessed today. And perhaps you're listening in to the show on the Odyssey app from somewhere all around the globe. I know many of you do that as well. 312-644-6767. That game today, there have been, of the many, many victories, of the 8 wins the Bears have had so far this season, a lot of them have had their own unique personality, their own aura, their own scent of a win that the Bears have been achieving this year. And, you know, as I've been kind of, I guess, talking to you about here in recent weeks about sort of transitioning from the aspiration for perfection from Caleb and just adjusting to the idea that this is a team not only with playoff aspirations, because every team throughout the league begins, they open their season with playoff aspirations, but they've played themselves into legitimate playoff conversation. And now at 8-3, I'll check in the Twitterverse, or maybe you guys hit me up on the text line or something like that. Let me know what the latest playoff odds are for the Bears right now, because Cassie Carlson and Lou Canellis, they were telling me on Friday that if the Bears won this game, it would jump them up. And my, you know, I had a late night last night driving home from Madison, Wisconsin, and an early morning this morning. So I don't know. My brain didn't work quite as good as it might normally. So I don't remember exactly what they told me on Bears Blitz Friday, but I feel like the Bears playoff odds are exponentially better right now than if they would have lost this game. So I'll have that for you at some point here, whether you text it to me or I'll look it up, or Tyler will look it up or something. But this is a team that they've been right there with it from a standings perspective in the hunt for the playoffs, and you know their positioning has them as a playoff squad. That's been the case for weeks at this point. But now 11 games in with six to go and continuing to be alone atop the division. Yes, there are still a number of divisional games that remain, but with each week that ticks off, and certainly with each additional victory that the Bears attain, the reality of your Chicago Bears as a playoff team becomes more and more crystallized. Now, for the leadership there at Halas Hall, for the players themselves within that locker room, after they get done with all the good, better, best, then yeah, the task at hand is to go and shift their focus to the next opponent, to keep it within the micro as much as they can. But for the rest of us, yeah, we can start dreaming bigger. We can start enjoying the spoils of what they are accomplishing and the victories that are being achieved by these Bears and start to think about some of the macro, some of the bigger pictures that are there for this squad. And this game over the Steelers, this victory over Pittsburgh, I came into the game and I was talking about this a bit this morning on Bears Game Day Live on Fox 32. I felt like the game, even with Aaron Rodgers in the game, if the Steelers' starting quarterback and future Hall of Famer, if he would have played in this game, my anticipation was that it was still going to be a game that maybe felt like that Baltimore Ravens game. Because of the standard style of play from the Steelers and because of the pass rush that Pittsburgh, especially on the edges, has the potential to unleash on their opponents. I thought it would be a game that would be sort of a defensive type of tussle and two offenses that would be operating with a degree of control and some of the chaos that these takeaway capable defenses would throw at the opposing quarterback that neither offensive play caller, neither head coach would really want the ball to be in harm's way very much. And then we got out early in the game, and it was just takeaway after takeaway from both squads. Fumble touchdown from Caleb, interception from Mason Rudolph, and you know, forced fumbles, all that. I'm like, man, this is – it's not like there was a lot of risky play calling from either squad, but both defenses were taking the rock away early in the game and creating possessions for the opponent. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, this game actually has a little different tenor to it than I thought it would. And in the end, I don't know what the over-under was coming into the game, but 31-28, that's a higher score. That's a higher total than I anticipated this game hitting. I didn't think it was going to threaten 60 points, even with the immaculate weather for late November that was out there at the stadium today. It said a couple of different things to me, and especially when you compare the way the two offenses operated. Now, of course, from the Pittsburgh side of things, and you know the news ended up breaking a couple hours before the game that you weren't going to see Aaron Rodgers, that the Pittsburgh starting quarterback, future Hall of Famer, Bears villain, that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play in this game. Some degree of disappointment that at least I felt, and I know a lot of folks felt associated with that. But frankly, just because I like watching excellence continue to compete, Aaron Rodgers isn't the same guy he was years ago. There's no doubt about that. But it's just fun to watch him play football. And he still performs it at a high enough level with a level of precision that I can still appreciate in watching a guy who's obviously long in the tooth and perhaps on the last legs, you know, beyond the back nine of his football career. But would have been fun to watch Aaron Rodgers one more time at Soldier Field. But that ends up not being the case. And what struck me, at least what my curiosity was the Mason Rudolph version of the Steelers, it actually ended up being different than I thought it would be. I thought Arthur Smith, I didn't think he'd come out and throw it 50 times, but I felt like there'd be less control, less apprehension with the vertical pass. But it seemed like the Bears kind of, you know, made them more insular, more guarded with the way they allowed Mason Rudolph to throw the ball. Because when they came out and tried to attack early, what, two offensive snaps into the game for Pittsburgh, They get a 9-yard run on first down. And, hey, let's go fade route up the sideline to DK Metcalf and see if we can get a chunk play there. And then here's one of the great finds, one of the now media darlings in the National Football League, and a guy who is having not only a career year, but one of the best seasons in the National Football League, now leading the NFL in interceptions, Nashawn Wright. And Nashawn Wright has had, in his 5 interceptions so far this season, there's been a wide variety of styles of interceptions. Early in the season, he's driving on the route with the pick 6 against J.J. McCarthy in the season opener. We've seen him have diving, acrobatic interception on in-breaking route. But what he seems maybe best suited for, with his length, with his former wide receiver background, and with his ball skills, is what we've seen his last couple of interceptions. The jump ball, where you're trying to fit the ball tightly over the outstretched hand of Nashawn Wright, that seems to me to be the worst mistake any quarterback can make trying to throw it against him. And there's more and more film that's beginning to support that. And so they went jump ball, tried to go, and the 50-50 ball was quite a storyline here in Chicago about the Bears offense over the past week with the comments Ben Johnson was making last week. And so what Pittsburgh was attempting to do, it kind of made the Ben Johnson case. Now, personally, I'm not anti 50-50 ball. I just don't know that the Bears really have 50-50 ball receivers here, but that's kind of a separate topic. But they try to go fade right up the sideline to DK Metcalf. Nashawn Wright goes and makes just an incredible one-handed pluck of the football. The ball doesn't stick there, but then just the presence of mind to get the feet tapped in bounds and continue as it juggles around to get his body contorted enough just to narrowly land in bounds. And yes, the football touched the ground a little bit, but officials ruled it as an INT. So the Bears get a takeaway on their very first defensive series of the game. And yeah, there were a couple of other vertical passes that were attempted in the game. Nashawn Wright almost had a second interception on one later in the game. But overall, I don't know what the average air yards were for Mason Rudolph in this game, but it didn't look very different from the Aaron Rodgers version of the Steelers offense. That honestly surprised me a little bit. And maybe it was that early interception, and Mike Tomlin just said, you know what? We don't need to throw it deep. This defense is battered and beleaguered by injuries. We're moving the rock okay. Our runs after catch is tops in the National Football League. Let's just do our thing, and then we can sort of methodically march our way down the field to put points on the board. And the Steelers did have some success with that. In the end, though, as has been the case throughout the season, when the surge was required in the fourth quarter, the Bears, both on offense and defense, were the ones who provided that. Great comeback for them in the second half of this game. And this is a squad that is now, I'll get it. I'm going to find these numbers, find these current playoff odds for the Bears and give them to you after this first timeout. I will also get you involved in the conversation. At 312-644-6767. I see Damian on the line. I see Tony on the line. I see Jordan and Tom on the line. We'll get more of you involved in the conversation here. I'll take my first time out and get to your calls on the post-post show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. so carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not the same with Bears right now.
Yep.
Do you feel the idea of kind of turning the tide here?
Yeah, I mean, we're an 8-3 team in the National Football League, we feel good where we're at, but we do got to get better. And I would say, we don't feel like we're the same old Bears. We pull through for each other when it matters most, and so we got to keep getting better. Like I said, it starts with me on my side, and then we'll keep growing from there.
You know that voice, it's Caleb Williams, starting quarterback for the NFC North leaders, the Chicago Bears. That's what he said. They're an 8-3 football team. So everybody can say it with their chest. The Bears are in first place in the process of attempting to take the North. Haven't been taken yet, but it's looking all right at this point in the season. I'm Anthony Hare, and this is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And for the way this squad has been advancing throughout the season and the wins that they have come up with, they should feel really good about where they're at, while at the same time, you can hear it in the way they're all addressing these things. Now, there's one thing to say it. Human nature can creep in and take over a little bit. But with the next game coming up just 5 days from now on Friday, on Black Friday, against one of the most physical teams in the National Football League, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, even the Bears at full strength taking on the Eagles, that'd be a daunting task anyway. But then you have this version of the Bears with where the roster is at right now, traveling to Philly. That's going to be a tough task either way. So to get this dub today, you don't want to lose any game. You're not going to give any game away. They're certainly going to go out there and do their best. But this very much strengthens their position to be able to withstand if they don't get the result they're hoping for in Philadelphia. But either way, there is a level of continued confidence that can grow from being able to achieve what they achieved today. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines, get some callers involved in this conversation. I see Damian is out in Wisconsin. Want to talk about what's happening with these Bears. What's up, Damian?
Hey there, Big Ant. Love you. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to just express I'm a long life Bears fan forever. I'll never not be a fan. This was not a perfect game. Many mistakes were made. That Caleb Williams that you addressed, oh God, that was devastating. But they come back, and I think that is incredible for what they can do now. However, my concern is, can they sustain this with the amount of injuries that have been going on with them? And I guess I want to get your opinion on, are they able to make the playoffs? I mean, can we be true believers now? So I'll leave it at that and let you take over.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Damian. I feel what you're saying. I do, because especially as more injuries continue to mount. Now, the concern, let's call it a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. Let's call it the concern a month ago when the Bears had a winning record, but there was still, and it maybe even still lingers. We'll see tomorrow on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday just how the conversation continues to evolve with, are the Bears good? I've been telling you for a couple weeks. There's no doubt at this point. The Bears are good. You don't achieve this record in this league without at least being good. Is it sustainable? I think that's a valid question. And are the Bears of playoff run caliber? Are they of championship caliber? I think those are questions that make sense in the realm of, can they achieve that? Because they're not showing that as of yet, but continuing to win games in the way that they have, yes. And now a depth of roster is showing up, and that matters a lot too. But this is where, at least through my lens, the concern for sustainability, to Damian's question, it feels as valid as anything else that's been discussed about the sustainability of success. Because one of the reasons, and I mentioned this earlier today on Fox 32, one of the reasons that the Bears are the team in this division that I think it's so exceptional that they're in first place right now at 8-3, but I would say comparing them with the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, the Bears are the squad that's still furthest away from their ceiling, that still has more ground to cover to continue improving. When you look at the offense and the youth at quarterback, the youth of a contributor like Kyle Manangai at running back, the relative youth at wide receiver with Rome Odunze and Luther Burden, other rookies like Colston Loveland, the way he's contributing, there's relative experience on the offensive line everywhere except left tackle. But then you've had Theo Benedet starting the majority of the games this season, and then Ozzie Trapillo steps in for him. So there's a lot of inexperience, but then also all these injuries mounting. So if you cross your fingers and your toes and the Bears don't continue to sustain other significant injuries, and then these reinforcements that are on the way that Ben Johnson is referencing here, now you really got something cooking where the defense should grow, should evolve, should enhance, should improve down the stretch run here as you get some of the starters, some of the studs, some of the stars in certain cases back involved with this thing. So it's an incomplete evaluation of that question, Damian, because they won a game without a bunch of those guys out there today. Is it sustainable? It's going to be difficult. I'll certainly say that. It would be difficult to sustain it. 312-644-6767. Tony, calling from Sycamore, wanting to talk about the Bears on the Post Show. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Big Ann. Happy Victory Sunday. I got two things. Number one, with all the injuries and the fact that we've got an entirely new coaching staff, a quarterback that's trying to figure it out, does the fact that they're winning and the way they're winning tell you that we have the coaching staff in place? And number two, you already touched on Nashon Wright, but if and when Jalen Johnson returns, do you feel like we've got to keep him opposite corner to Jalen Johnson? That's what I've got. Thanks, Big Ant. Have a blessed holiday season.
Hey, appreciate it. Same to you, Tony. Blessed holiday season to you as well. I'll say this, and you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times when it's been asked to me in recent weeks, and D.A., Dennis Allen, the Bears defensive coordinator, has addressed it in a similar fashion. Whether you're talking defensive backs, whether you're talking pass rushers, I'd say there are a number of position groups where something similar could apply, where I'm not willing to even call it a good problem. It's just a good situation to be in if you have an abundance of talented individuals. And you could say that at any position group, but I would say defensive back and pass rusher, a couple of position rooms where that holds up even more, because you need so many bodies in those position groups. D-line, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, D-line is the least mentally taxing position on the field, but it's the most physically taxing position on the field. So you're frequently just going to need more bodies rolling through up front because it demands so much of your body to try and play quality defensive line. And then in the secondary, with as much time as the NFL spends in sub packages where, you know, traditionally or historically your base defense is going to have your two corners and two safeties but what we think of as subgroups, the defensive personnel, where the secondary has personnel that's more prepared to defend the pass. So you might have more pass rushers on the field up front, and you might have more DBs on the field in the back end, and nickel personnel, dime personnel. When you're hearing those terminologies, that's what people are talking about. And so with that, as many talented defensive backs as you can find, then defensive coordinators, now it's just their job to put them out there and put them in positions to succeed. So at whatever point Jalen Johnson is actually back, and the fact that the Bears keep winning, there is zero reason to rush him back. There is zero reason to rush Kyler Gordon back. That, to me, is the good problem, because it's a problem all these guys are getting hurt. But the good part of it, they are finding ways to win despite that. So then if you're in a situation where you got healthy Nashawn Wright, healthy Kyler Gordon, healthy Tyreek Stevenson, who again had to leave the game today with an injury in his own right, and you add Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson into the mix. Now, you got all that. You fortunately have had Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Byard available to you throughout the entire season. So you really haven't had to get to the point of Elijah Hicks and Jonathan Owens, two guys who have shown they're capable of contributing at the safety position of this Bears defense as well. But when you get all those guys back, they're going to find a spot for him. I mean, Nashawn Wright's leading the National Football League in interceptions, so he's not just going to sit on the bench, but he also ain't ready to start over Jalen Johnson either. So, you know, you're going to have all those guys prepared, and they're going to spend a lot of time in those sub-packages anyway, because that's just kind of life in the modern NFL, and maybe you have the potential to not overexpose Jalen Johnson a little bit early, have him on some sort of a reps count or something like that, perhaps something similar with Kyler Gordon as well. You can mix and match and determine certain matchups that you like individuals against. You know, there can be fun to be had with that when you're on the grease board as a defensive mind, drawing up coverages and matchups, and you feel good about a lot of guys who you could put in these situations. That's a strong position the Bears can be in as those other individuals return. So I like that from that perspective. Let's go out to Lakeview. Greg is on the line here. Want to talk about what's happening with the Bears, with the first place Bears on the post show. What's happening, Greg?
First place Bears, baby. Hey, right. Coming into the game, I really wanted to see Aaron Rodgers play, because I wanted a revenge game against the last time Aaron Rodgers came to Soldier Field shouting, "We own you! We own you all my life! I own you!" You know, I didn't appreciate the language he used or just his general attitude. And to be honest, I think I still saw some of that on the sidelines today. That sly grin on his face. I couldn't see what he was mouthing, but I don't think it was good. So I wanted Aaron Rodgers in there. But I'll tell you what, the quarterback they did play, I think he might have even been better than the current Aaron Rodgers right now. He was completing passes. He had poise. He was stretching the field. And so the other more important thing is the Bears building a winning culture, and they got a win today against a stout defense, against a real good team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Love Mike Tomlin. And I think it's just a feather in their cap against the critics saying – Bears can't beat a good team, because that Pittsburgh defense was a good defense, and the Bears offense put up, what was it, 31 points on them?
31 points. That's right. I appreciate you, Greg. Yeah, they got that done. And I liked your choice of words in certain situations there, too, that the Bears are building a winning culture. Some of these things are still in process, and the Steelers defense, and they spent a lot of money on that defense. That's been one of the main areas of frustration for folks who cover the Steelers, is that this is a high dollar defense. There's a lot of investment on that side of the football, and they've had a bunch of takeaways. They've had a good amount of sacks, but they haven't just consistently been shutting the water off on people throughout the entire season either. And so when you've invested to that extent on the defensive side of the football, there are a lot of expectations that come with it. And, you know, like TJ Watt, he had that nice big sack, forced fumble, gets a touchdown for the squad. But TJ Watt wasn't out there wrecking the game consistently today. He's a fantastic football player. He's a future Hall of Famer and still in the prime of his career. Phenomenal pass rusher. But a couple of factors in there that I'll get into after this timeout in how the Bears negated T.J. Watt's consistent ability to wreck the game. And credit to the personnel, credit to the coaching staff as well. But there's a big topic that's been a sore spot for me as I've been evaluating the Bears for years, that I think they've made so much progress in this particular area that's showing up in a wide variety of places this season. Get to more of your calls as well at 312-644-6767. I see Jordan out there. I see Jason out there. I see Jeff out there. Everybody with a J name, go ahead and call me up. I'm Anthony Heron. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Score.
Yeah, I mean, my main goal is to help the team, so I'm just going out there, especially a day like today, for example, where the pads are on, you know, bullets are flying, just going out there doing the best that I can to show the coaches my abilities. So, you know, I'm just going to go out there, head down, work hard, and then what happens after is kind of the coach's decision. So I'm doing my part. I know the other guys are doing theirs, and we're just going to let it unfold.
How's today's starting left tackle for the first place Chicago Bears, Ozzie Trapillo, back on July 31st. The Bears were early in training camp. He was competing for the left tackle job. Did not win the left tackle job. And then, of course, did not win the right tackle job either. Made the squad, and then got to work. And the Bears found a role for him, and that role was not as a starter, was not as a consistent contributor as an offensive tackle in game action. But it was sort of sprinkling him in, finding this role as the additional big body in some of their XL packages, being the guy who could go in motion, line up as a tight end or wing, line up as that, you know, tackle over sort of formation figure, and getting him to game action. Now, back in training camp, frankly, back on draft day, when the Bears drafted Ozzie Trapillo, and, you know, I didn't have a detailed look at his film yet. I said, all right, big body out of Boston College, we'll see. And I called him Ozzie Trapillo that first day. I was the first one to say Ozzie's name on the station. Ozzie Trapillo, I had no idea how to say his name. I hadn't heard of Ozzie before. and figure out, oh, okay, it's actually Trapillo. The L, you don't have to roll the L. So Isaac Trapillo, as we were discussing him early on, I got a chance to go back and evaluate some of the things from pre-draft and watching his film. It's like, ah, I don't know if this guy's a left tackle. He got his first start at left tackle today. And pass protection, for the most part, was exemplary. Not even just specifically Ozzie himself, but the unit as a whole. And that's one of the things that is worthy of continuing to remind people of. Pass protection pretty often is a team sport. Not only do you have the five offensive linemen that are up there, but one of the things I was most hopeful about as the Bears made the hire of Ben Johnson, and he was pretty immediately asked, are you going to also call the plays on offense? And he said, damn Skippy. So then you have Ben Johnson and his offensive mind and his in-game scheming, the schematics of his system. And one of the things he was most exceptional at in Detroit was to call the game through the lens of not only how can I carve folks up from the pocket, how can I win with the drop back passing game, but how do I make the life of my quarterback easier? How do I take some load off of him? How do I make the life of my offensive line easier? How do I take some pressure off of them? How do I take the starch out of that opposing pass rush and keep them guessing? And the value that Ben Johnson placed on that throughout the entire time he called plays for the Detroit Lions, that's been on display throughout the entire time he has now been the head coach and offensive play caller for the Chicago Bears. And so that's been proof positive that he's been able to take that, to transition that from the Lions now to his time with the Bears. And so that's a huge factor in the success that we saw today from Ozzie Trapillo, who back in training camp, I'm sure many of you remember well, hey, he's going to compete with Braxton Jones. All right, nope, not going to compete with Braxton Jones as a left tackle anymore. Not Theo Benedett's in the battle over there because Ozzie doesn't look like a left tackle. We're moving him over to the right side, which is what I thought made sense. I thought that's where he was best suited, and I completely agreed with that. But Braxton Jones is on injured reserve, and Theo Benedett was not available today, and Ozzie Trapillo started at left tackle and played really well. Now, we highlighted the ability the Steelers have shown as edge rushers. What the Bears did throughout the game today, though, was utilizing tight alignments from their tight ends, from wide receivers, using offset running backs to help. You know, they got some chip help at times, but beyond even just going and chipping the edge rusher to the side of Ozzie Trapillo, the consistency from an alignment perspective that you saw the Bears using tight alignments from wideouts and using tight ends to widen the pocket at the snap even more, and then the blending of quick game and mixing some of the protection assignments, all those things that just kept the Steelers off balance throughout the game. There was a concerted effort and a consistent effort with the volume that the Bears threw the ball with. I mean, there was a point in the game, and I'm taking notes throughout, like, man, we've kind of abandoned the run game here. But it was all right because Caleb was getting the ball out on time. And then when the pocket was sound, there were some times where Caleb held the ball as well, but it was okay. He wasn't under this constant duress. And what we've seen in years past is that at times when the pocket has been collapsing around a quarterback, there's been a number of previous Bears offensive play callers who've just continued this commitment to the drop back stationary passing game and just to assume that things are going to get better. These matchups that we're being dominated in right now, you know what? The players are just going to figure it out. It often doesn't work like that in the NFL. And to me, it's one of the most impressive things. And Ben Johnson, as the head coach slash play caller with these other duties that are on his plate, he seems to never get too far away offensively from realizing that the wide variety of jobs that are there, from the quarterback to the O-line to the running back to the tight ends to the receivers, to make sure everyone is involved, that there's never any immense load that's overwhelming on any one individual, He's done that at a really consistent level, and I still feel that even in a game where he apparently called 18 pass plays in a row. I doubt he's done that at any other point this season, but the good thing about it was that there was still screen game and quick game mixed in with the drop back game. So we may never see another time this season where Ben Johnson calls that many pass plays in a row, because it was apparent, man, they're throwing the ball a lot, but it wasn't drop back throughout that entire time and deep drops. There was variety to the protection assignments. And the point about Ozzie Tripillo that I do want to underline here as well is, not only is Ozzie Tripillo a guy who has now shown he's capable of playing winning football as a left tackle. Now, the assignment for Ozzie Tripillo, like if he's out there again this Friday against the Philadelphia Eagles, it's a different animal. Steelers got a couple of really nice edge rushers. The Eagles got a front. Philadelphia Eagles, they can bring it every which way along that D-line, and you can have a really long day against them. So I'm not here to tell you Ozzie Tripillo has arrived as a left tackle. He's got one start. Nobody arrives anywhere after one start in the NFL. But it was a really impressive day for him that I hope he feels great about, and he may be tasked again to try and build off of that heading towards next Friday. But the thing I am confident about is that Ben Johnson will continue to work to put Ozzie Tripillo schematically in a position to succeed. And we so consistently view how Ben Johnson or any offensive coordinator, an offensive play caller, what position are they putting the quarterback in to succeed? But I love the fact that Ben Johnson calls a game to put the O-line in a position to succeed as well. And that gives the entire offense its best opportunity at success. And that's what the best play callers in the business do. And Ben Johnson is definitively one of those. He's one of the best play callers we've seen in a while in the NFL. To the franchise as a whole, because when you look up and down this roster, and especially this draft class, in particular for this season, Colston Loveland, game one, kind of an afterthought. Luther Burden, was he even dressing? First couple games of the season, sure, but he wasn't playing a whole lot. I've talked about Ozzie Tripillo. They switched Shamar Turner from defensive tackle out to defensive end when they need some help out there, and you were showing signs of how he could be a real contributor out there. Ruben Hippolyte, they didn't really need a lot from him because they were getting really good production at the two linebacker spots that stay on the field. But today he was getting his first start, was actually doing all right until he leaves the game with an injury. Of course, Kamanangai and what we've seen from him as the seventh round pick, the final draft pick from this season's draft class. And it was good to see Luke Newman kind of filling the Ozzie Tripillo extra big man role within the Bears offense, not only as sort of the pulling massive tight end type, but also in the backfield as a lead blocker, a pseudo fullback type. The development of the young talent on this football team is at a level that we haven't seen in years with the Bears. And if there's nothing else that you've heard me talk about on this station, aside from complaining about the game plans of a variety of offensive coordinators in years past here, you've heard me lament the development of young players. And it's not like I'm just in there at Hallis Hall watching the way they're lifting weights or listening to the coaches in the meetings or anything like that. That's all been evident on the football field, from the lack of development from a variety of the young players who get drafted into this organization. And in years past, we haven't seen them develop into guys who look like they're going to become high-level players in the NFL. But you look at these last couple of draft classes here, and it's evident that the development arm that's in place for the Bears and the focus on getting the most out of their young talent, there's a lot of progress that's been made there. Because the shiny object is just focusing on, have they drafted the right quarterback and is he in a position to succeed? But beyond that, the roster for the Bears has to be of championship caliber if they're going to compete for championships. And there hadn't been a lot of development before now that the Bears were properly developing not only their quarterbacks, but the young position players on this team. Credit to Ozzie Tripillo for being in a position to make a start against that Steelers pass rush. And you what, maybe heard his name called once and it wasn't even in a negative way? Shout out to Trapillo for performing at a high level for the Bears today, but also shout out to the Bears as an organization for developing him to the point where he could compete against the Steelers and be a part of the Bears winning that very important game. I'd clap, but it would probably make for awkward radio for you to listen to me clap. But proud of Isaac Trapillo, happy that he's in that position, but really happy that the Chicago Bears seem to have figured out a better formula for developing their young players than what was previously in place. That is a really strong sign for the direction that this franchise is going. I know I got a lot of folks on the phone line here, 312-644-6767. Going to get to the top of the hour and get back out to the phone lines as well. And as we get throughout the week, make sure you tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. Tonight, the Rams host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. And then, make sure you join The Score this Friday at The Wall in Gurnee, located at 6144 West Grand Avenue. Olin Krutz, James, Big Cat Williams, and Mark Grody will host our pregame show there from 11 to 2, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Philadelphia the day after Thanksgiving. Catch the game on the biggest of screens while enjoying all the MVP comforts of a Marcus Theater. There'll be drink specials as well. It's all happening at The Wall in Gurnee starting at 11 a.m. this Friday. Olin, I know you've been hanging out with Grody a little bit at some of these remotes. I don't know. Grody might go sing a white female on you. I'm just saying, you might have a new best friend and you don't even know it. Watch your back, O. But I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Show. I'm going to get some more phone calls in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Once again, I got to go look at that tape. But, you know, 31 points on offense, and that's always a good thing when you get over 30. So, you know, from my perspective, we probably had a couple that we let get away from us. But, you know, that's, I don't know, many quarterbacks that do play a perfect game.
As the voice of Bears coach Ben Johnson, following his takedown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 31-28. Victorious Bears at 8-3 on the season, 4-1 at Soldier Field, having won 8 of their last 9 games, and that 8-3 record has them at first place in the NFC North. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Taking you up to Sunday Night Football coverage on The Score. Tonight, the Rams host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football coverage. Begins at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. And, of course, you can tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. And normally on a Football Monday, I would be on the midday show. I'm actually going to be filling in for the great Lawrence Holmes. I'll be on the afternoon show with Spiegs tomorrow and Tuesday, so looking forward to that. Be able to stretch my legs a little bit and react to things with Spiegs for the early part, the start of the holiday week. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. If I'm not mistaken, you'll be there with me as well, baby T, right?
That is right. I'm in for Tanny Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week.
Oh, man, we both got big shoes to fill.
That's right.
I mean, my feet are bigger than Lawrence's, but figuratively, because I'm guessing. Yeah, well, Tanny's feet are probably bigger than yours. My feet are bigger than Lawrence's. But the figurative shoes we'll be filling. There's a lot to look forward to there. Alex Kuhn will be with us also on the afternoon show. But Ben Johnson, they're addressing the question that he'll continue to get for quite a while, I'm sure, just, hey, how'd Caleb play? And it makes sense. We want to hear from Ben about that because we're all still curious about the development of the Bears quarterback. That conversation, though, as the team continues to win games, for me, it's still very important, but it's not all important. And that was honestly one of the first things that Ben Johnson said in that initial press conference. And he said it right to Caleb. Like, Caleb, I'm here because of you. This is about you, but it's not going to be all about you. And he's gotten this team to that point in year number one where, yes, Caleb's development matters a lot Because if this is going to be, quote unquote, sustainable, then excellence at quarterback is the best route towards that. But it's not the only route towards that. I mean, the Eagles win every year, and they've had a bunch of different quarterbacks doing that. Hell, Tampa Bay wins a lot. They've done it with a few different QBs in recent years. I went through all these numbers last offseason before the Bears drafted Caleb. Maybe I'll knock the dust off of those sometime this week. We'll see, because there's a bunch of franchises who win at a really high level and have done so all throughout this century without just having that one, quote-unquote, great QB who's done it because they drafted the right guy. I keep doing air quotes. But we'll get back around to some of that a little bit later. 312-644-6767. Jordan has been on hold for a while out on the road. I don't know, maybe driving back from Soldier Field, perhaps. Jordan, what's up? You're on the Post Post Show.
Hey, good evening, Tyler and Anthony. Thank you so much for taking my call. I actually finished my drive while I was waiting.
Oh, nice.
I appreciate you guys fitting us in. So, quick question. Happy Thanksgiving. Quick question. About the last two possessions of the game that the Bears had on offense. Mm-hmm. They took almost no time off the clock, and I think they were within the two-minute warning for both of those possessions. And they were – the defense had just gone through that 15-play, 17-play drive, whatever it was. They were totally exhausted. And the Bears couldn't get a first down to really close out the game, and they had to rely on the defense to do it. How do they correct that kind of thing going forward when they're having to play elite teams like the Eagles if they end up in a similar situation?
Yeah, so Jordan, I think that's a fair question, but it is a question that I think largely applies to today, because it does strike me as the Bears' run game, as it's gotten to number two in the National Football League, one of the things that we have seen is the Bears have been able to put themselves in a position to run effectively and close some of these games out because of their ability to block it up front. So, I mean, today's game it would be an example of them not having that success in the run game. But even there was the second to last real drive of the game that they ended up going three and out and putting the football away. They did take nearly 2 minutes of time off the clock. And it was only that much because they ended up passing the ball on third down because it was third and long. But if you look at the second down play, I believe it was, Kyle Manungai did have a hole. There was a crease there. They went outside zone to the left side behind Isaac Trapillo, and the entire offensive line and the tight ends blocked it up really well. And Manungai was upset at it himself, because there was a lane available. He planted that outside foot in the ground. I mean, everything was working out beautifully, as you would hope it would on a stretch zone play. You see the line moving in unison. They're rolling out. They're running off the ball is the way the offensive line coaches like to describe it, depending on the footwork they really want. Within the Bears scheme, you'll see them at times run off the ball, and they're doing it in unison, everybody working to the left. And then there was a crease that opened up. Really, frankly, it was an alley that kind of opened up for Manungai. And if Kyle Manungai is just your standard Kyle Manungai, it doesn't even have to do anything creative in the open field. Usually when Manungai plants that outside foot and gets vertical, then there's positive things happening for the Bears' run game. His cleats got out of the ground on him. I think he was wearing kind of the screw-in, you know, kind of spikes on the bottom of his shoes, like most skill position guys do. But as he planted his left foot, then he just kind of got on the side of his cleats a little bit, and his cleats came out of the ground. He just slipped and fell on the ground. But the O-line actually blocked it up great. That was going to be a first down run that iced the game, and it was going to be just the most recent example of the Bears' offensive line and the Bears' run game putting the squad in a position to salt the game away. But Manungai's cleats came out of the ground as he made the cut. And so he's on the ground. The Bears end up in third and long. They call some pocket movement, and Caleb throws an incompletion, and they punt it away. Then the next one, yeah, the Bears just didn't move the ball, and they punted it away again. But I do think we've seen some examples here recently, Jordan, that the Bears have been capable of salting the game away with the run game. I think it was just last week. They just went lead week against the Vikings to salt the game away. I mean, just a very basic run play. And they just kind of got in an I formation and rolled off the ball and moved the Vikings. And then you end up with the game-winning field goal from Cairo Santos. But the Bears' run game in a situation where the opponent knew they were going to run the football, and they ran behind Darnell Wright and Jonah Jackson and Drew Dahlman, and that O-line made big things happen. And then you get the game-winning kick from Cairo Santos. So I'd say today there's some context to the concern for them not running some more time off the clock. The O-line kind of did enough to ice the game there. And Kyle Manungai, if there's anything that he's been really consistent at throughout his college and his short time in the NFL, he'll get vertical and he'll find some positive yards. He just happened to slip on that second down play. 312-644-6767. As I take you up to Sunday Night Football coverage here on The Score, the Bears defense and the position that this Dennis Allen defense is in right now. When you think about the fact that Tremaine Edmonds, in the midst of a career year, well, in my opinion, a career year. Tremaine Edmonds might disagree. I don't know. I mean, he's been a quality football player for a long time, but certainly the best season he's had since he's been a member of the Chicago Bears. I feel like that is safe to say. Tremaine Edmonds has been playing big for the majority of this season. He's out of the lineup. TJ Edwards, out of the lineup. Noah Sewell, who from a development perspective, it's been good to see Noah Sewell in the midst of the best year that he's had in his young NFL career and his time with the Bears. All three of those guys out of the lineup. And so who's at linebacker coming into the day for the Bears? And beyond who's at linebacker, the production that they got from the guys who played linebacker for them during this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game where it wasn't like the Steelers were just in I formation running downhill at the Bears on a consistent basis. But you came out of this game with DeMarco Jackson having 15 tackles. Amen. Ogbong Bamiga with 14 tackles in this game. And like I mentioned, Ruben Hippolyte, who got hurt fairly early in the game, but he was looking like he was doing a few nice things in his action in the game as well before he ended up having to leave the lineup. But guys who there's no way the Bears thought they were going to need to count on, they ended up needing to count on them in the game today. Even got to the point where Carl Jones had to step into the lineup. Recently practice squad guy Carl Jones steps in after Ogbong Bamiga has to leave the lineup with an injury. He's in there for a couple of plays. Like, I don't know how much more thin the Bears could plausibly get at linebacker in the front seven. Dominique Robinson ends up leaving the game with an injury as well, apparently in the concussion protocol. I mean, they are battered, they are bruised, but they are still 8-3. But yeah, I shined a light on Ozzie Trapillo because he was such a hot button topic during the offseason, during the post-draft process, during everything that led through the offseason getting up to this point. But just today's game, in a vacuum, so much credit to those young linebackers for stepping in against an offense that was testing them a lot. Because, you know, tackle numbers can lie a little bit sometimes. Like having big tackle numbers, it's good to have production. But as you've heard me talk about Tremaine Edmonds, and of course, I'm not holding DeMarco Jackson and Amen Ogbong Bamiga to the same standard I'd hold Tremaine Edmonds to. But just to give you some context on my evaluation of this thing, one of my concerns with Tremaine Edmonds until they moved him to the will position, or really through the first couple of years he's been here in Chicago, is I just wanted him to bring more force towards the line of scrimmage. His size and athleticism have made him really effective in pass coverage, have made him really effective covering a lot of ground, sideline to sideline. But as far as reading the run and reacting downhill with force, like plugging run lanes, peeling layers off of those defensive linemen as blockers are trying to advance, to me, that wasn't a strong suit of Tremaine Edmonds until this year. And frankly, since the bye week, really, where now we've seen a version of Tremaine Edmonds that's reacting forward a lot more consistently than I believe he ever has before. And it's a part that, you know, all the interceptions are great too. But for me, as a linebacker, especially as an off-ball linebacker, a micro will linebacker, how you're defending the run, how you're operating in and around the line of scrimmage, to me has more consistent value to the defense than being able to intercept the ball. Now, takeaways, interceptions are great too, but we've seen so much growth from Tremaine Edmonds in that regard this season. So when you have all the other guys in there, you know, whatever, undrafted players and late picks and guys who've never started before, but they just kind of found a way. And they were going sideline to sideline. This was an offense that had, I mean, I called a college game last night. I called a Big Ten game last night between Illinois and Wisconsin. And there's so many college offenses that are like all eye candy. I can't tell you how many times calling the game in Madison last night that I used terms like eye candy and window dressing and eye discipline because of all the motions and the shifts and the quick passes and everything else that those teams were doing last night. The Steelers offense was basically that. The Steelers offense would have fit right in at Camp Randall Stadium last night. And that does, that can be taxing for a linebacker mentally. And then you also get some tush push and them rolling off the ball right at you as well. So the Steelers did some of that, but really happy with what I saw. And I would imagine the Bears, you know, in context, were happy with what they saw from DeMarco Jackson, from Amen Ogbonbamiga. You know, they're going to want the starters back as quickly and as healthy as possible. But for what the Steelers threw at them today and the speed that the Steelers attacked the edge with some of their run game and some of their throw game, there was a lot of quick decisions that the Bears linebackers were tasked with. And now they didn't always get there probably as quickly as Dennis Allen and others would like them to, but they got there enough to hold the Steelers to 28 points as the Bears had 31 points. And in the end, that's the best thing that they can or should be judged by in what was the first career start for several of them. Concerning moving forward, though, an offense like the Eagles, like what they're going to get from Philadelphia coming up on Friday, that's going to stress them in a different way. Stress them maybe physically even more than mentally. A couple other observations from the game today. I was talking about the quarterback position and Caleb Williams. So some positives and negatives from the game today. I think the negative was apparent, and Tyler played that clip of Ben Johnson as we came out of break. Any reference? I think he basically used the term like, there's some passes we'd want to have back. Like, yeah, I think the way that Caleb sailed the ball a couple of times as he was trying to hit some in cuts to Luther Burden and threw one or two that were behind, I think it was Colston Loveland. He was kind of late and behind on one time. I've got to check my notes here. But DJ Moore as well. But there were also some really nice moments. So some of the passes sailed. Some of the passes were low. But, again, that's just going to come up and just sort of be a part of the conversation. Well, it's going to come up and it's going to be a part of the film. I think with Caleb, it's a part of the conversation more than it will be for other quarterbacks, at least at this point in his development. What I do like from a broadcast perspective is that we're getting to the point now where it's a little less part of the commentary of the commentators who are calling the game, like CBS between Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt, who this is his first full season as a game analyst. If I'm not mistaken, he'd been in studio for CBS up until now. And one thing you might notice, there's not a lot of defensive linemen who consistently get to work as game analysts. And it kind of goes towards what I mentioned earlier, where D-line is the least mentally taxing position on defense, but the most physically taxing position on defense. But when I say it's the least mentally taxing position, it's not like you don't have to know anything, but you can get by being a D-lineman without really knowing what any of the other position groups do on a consistent basis. Like if you're involved in a zone blitz, you got to know where the linebackers are and how you're relating to DBs and you're counting receivers to know which zone you're dropping into and that type of thing. But usually it's the position groups like quarterback that are already accustomed to sort of knowing what everyone on the field has to do that can more quickly or easily transition into communicating the full scope of the game as an analyst. But I think for J.J. Watt, having not called games much before, I've been impressed with how he sounds this season. I thought he called a good game today. And that moment where his younger brother, T.J. Watt, ends up surpassing him for, I guess, like the Watt family sack record or whatever. Like, they just kind of came up with some distinction for T.J. Watt. But, okay, so he's got more career sacks than one of the all-time greats, J.J. Watt, does now. But I thought J.J. handled that as professionally as you could expect a big brother to handle that. Or he referenced it, but then didn't, like, go overboard, waxing poetic about his baby brother and all this other stuff. I get the impression he was trying to be professional about it. And I thought he pulled it off really well. And you're in these positions sometimes. Like, whenever I've called a bunch of Iowa football games on the Big Ten Network and on NBC over the years. And, you know, there's good stuff happening with the Hawkeyes. Yeah, I'm going to celebrate it, but I try not to go, you know, go out of my way or go overboard kind of wearing my black and gold hat, you know, on my sleeve or anything like that. But I thought J.J. Watt handled that really well, even though CBS obviously wanted to lean into that. And there's a reason they put him on this game. And so that part worked out really well for them. But the conversation overall, the conversation about Caleb, like on that sack that T.J. Watt got, J.J. Watt was very critical of Caleb and his decision-making and not getting rid of the football. And it was well-earned. It should have been. It was an awful play from Caleb. But it wasn't this snap-by-snap consistent discussion of who's open, who's not open. Oh, that pass sailed. Caleb's got to do this. That has started to dissipate in recent weeks as the Bears have won more. And I think the conversation in-game and the conversation overall about the Bears quarterback has become a lot more responsible and even nuanced than it was earlier in the season. And his performance continues to progress, but Caleb hasn't arrived yet. He certainly hasn't. And he did miss some throws and sail some balls today. What I did think was really good about Caleb's performance, I thought he saw the field really well today. I'm looking forward to talking to Kurt Warner about that tomorrow when he joins us on the afternoon show when I'm there with Speaks, because as far as just being as pocket-based as the Bears' offense was today, I felt like it was one of Caleb's better games at times climbing a muddy pocket, at times having to hang in there for a tick longer and delivering the ball as he's seeing the field. I felt like he was reading it out pretty consistently, but then there were times where, yeah, there was just some inaccuracies that showed up. But the way I'm evaluating that is just that Caleb is still in the infancy of being more adept at defeating defenses with his mind more than his body, with his mentality more than his physical capabilities. And right now, I believe he's making that transition effectively, but it's not how his game has been elite before. And so from a development perspective, the other positions that are developing, of course, what's still most important is that the Bears quarterback continues to develop as well. And I thought today was another good example of that. It's nice to have the touchdown passes on the board as sort of that tangible evidence of quality play. But beyond that, even the passes that were errant, the passes that sailed, he wasn't like throwing the ball into harm's way. He had some sail on him. He dribbled a pass or two that he would certainly want back. But I really thought Caleb saw the field well throughout the game today. So as far as continuing to build on that, that is certainly a positive sign for where this franchise can continue to go this particular season, let alone 2026 and beyond. Fun time to talk about the Bears. We will continue to do it throughout the day tomorrow, even throughout the night tonight. So there will be a lot more to continue to tune into on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mullion Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. But in just a moment, the Rams host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm Anthony Herron. My guy Tyler Farengold was on the ones and twos for me throughout the post-show. As always, appreciations and salutations for all who listen to the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.